And joining me right now here on the Mark Mosey Show, this guy does a great job with Brevard Sports Network here in Brevard County, is a good friend, Alan Slaughterzinski. We got to talk about what happened last night with UConn winning the national title. Alan Slaughterzinski, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mark. Good to hear you back on the air, man.
I appreciate that. We were talking off air, and I want your thoughts on UConn. Dominant performance. I saw you write this on Facebook last night. Dominant. Six wins in the tournament, all by double digits, and they hammered Purdue last night. What did you think of that performance last night against Purdue?
Unbelievable, Mark. I mean, you know, listen, a lot of people will look at this win and say, look, they're winning by 23.3 points per game over six games in the NCAA tournament. But this was an absolute, you know, beatdown. It was a coaching clinic put on by Dan Hurley. I mean, yes, they won with offense, but this UConn defense, this is the best college basketball team I've ever seen over a two-year stretch. You know, stop and think about what they did last night to Purdue. Purdue, Mark, is the second-best three-point shooting team in the country. Now, not only did they hold Purdue to just one three-point make in the game, but they only allowed them seven shots from beyond the arc. That's absolutely ridiculous. And not only this year, but they won by 20 points a game in the tournament last year. They're 12-0 in the last two tournaments, Mark, and not one win was less than 13 points in the tournament. You will never see, at least I can't imagine when the days of the transfer portal here, that you will ever see a two-year run as dominant as the one the UConn Huskies just had. I don't know that I've ever seen it in the past, the 91-92 Duke team. Great teams, right? I mean, the Gators teams that won back-to-back were great teams. You had Carolina back in the 80s, the Worthy, the Georgia, they were great teams. But none of them, Kentucky in 96, none of these teams were as dominant as UConn has been. And it was fun to watch, to be honest with you. You know, it really was. When you watched UConn, you were like, are they going to cover the 15 points? I mean, you looked on these gambling apps and you were like, oh my God, the point spread is 18 points. Is UConn going to cover it? Well, yeah, they did.
What's weird is, I want to get your take, Alan Slaughterzinski. There's no star player. It's funny. You look at those teams you're bringing up. They all had like a name. And we knew this player, and we knew how he played, and he went to the NBA. All those teams, even the Gators teams, where you had Joakim Noah and Al Horford. Who's on this UConn team? Who's the player?
Obviously you've got to give it up for Tristan Newton. I mean, he's the first player since Bill Walton in 1972 and 73 to win back-to-back Most Outstanding Player awards. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment in and of itself, right? But when you look at what Tristan Newton did in this tournament, I mean, two games ago, I think it was against what? I can't remember.
Illinois?
Illinois.
Yeah.
Held him to 5 points. You know, he didn't hit a three-point shot in the game. In fact, he was 1-for-6 in two of the tournament games from beyond the arc. He averaged 14 points and 7 assists per game in a tournament. But, I mean, you go down the lineup on this team, and you look at them, and you're right. They are a team made up of very good players with the best coach in college basketball. You're right. We have seen some great individual performances in this tournament. Carmelo Anthony, Michael Jordan, James Worthy, Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner. We could sit here and name names all day. But 20 years from now, nobody's going to remember Tristan Newton. They're just not, Mark. But they will remember UConn as the best team.
I like you brought up Coach Hurley. This is my statement today. He is now the best in the business. He is the top dog. He's 51 years old. Two championships. I think he can win more. And it's funny where the narrative yesterday was about John Calipari. And my thought is, he's yesterday news. He's in his 70s. It's now the Coach Hurley Show. Do you believe that as well?
I do. And the only thing, Mark, that I'm sad about is the fact that Jay Wright still isn't at Villanova. You know, imagine if Jay Wright was still at Villanova? But you're right. Dan Hurley is the best. He's got it in his blood. Loved the reaction last night when he put his son in the game, you know, a walk-on. How can you not love the guy? He's cocky, he's arrogant, but he's not cocky and arrogant in an in-your-face type of a way. He's a hell of a coach, Mark, and you know what? Well done.
Are they now the top blue blood of all the blue blood since they got to their six now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not only is UConn the top blue blood, Mark, but you got to look at the way that they did it. You know, when you think of those great UCLA teams, John Wooden. You think of those great Duke teams, you think of Mike Krzyzewski. When you think of those great, you know, North Carolina teams, you know, you had Roy Williams and Dean Smith, right? But Villanova has won six championships since 1999 with three different coaches. Jim Calhoun, Jim Ollie won one in 2014, and now Dan Hurley. So, yes, they are the top blue blood in college basketball at the moment.
We're here with Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network. All right, here's the hypothetical. Let's say Kentucky calls up Hurley. Here's a blank check. Would you go or would you stay at UConn?
Nah, Danny's not going anywhere. I think the test of time over the last 25 years has proved, even if he did, you know, what would, you know, UConn's just going to go out and fill his shoes, right? I mean, so I don't think he goes anywhere. This is the best job in college basketball. It may not pay the most. It may not pay like the Kentuckys of the world. But, you know, honestly, Mark, what's the difference between $50 and $40 million? Yeah, it's $10 million, but how much money do you really need?
And you're winning championships. What isn't that the point? I know it's like the Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. He's winning the championships. Right. And I'm telling you, with the transfer portal, he figured it out. He knows what to do. I can't give him his flowers enough. I mean, it's so dominant. All right, you look at Purdue with Zach Edey. Great college player. Player of the year. He had over 30 last night. In your eyes, does he translate to the NBA, though?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that I think he translates well to the NBA. You know, I love what Hurley did to Purdue last night. You know, the old 1% rule, right, Mark? You let Zach Edey's going to beat you. Nobody's stopping Zach Edey at the college level. 37 points last night. I think he's the first player in the history of the NCAA tournament to average 30 points in the tournament and not win a championship. So, yes. But I think what translates Zach Edey to the NBA is his physicalness and his ability to play athletically under the basket. I think that's going to translate very well to the NBA for him. I think he's going to be an outstanding NBA talent. I really do.
My question is, you're right, he's got the height and the body. Can he keep up with the speed of the game? It's, you know, he's perfect for college because it's half court game. It's still that old school half court. NBA's up and down. And you look at like on the Magic, Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. They're both 6'10", and they're running around like guards. So can Edey, it's going to take him some time to transition. I agree with you. I think he's going to be a lottery pick. He's going to have a learning curve here because he's going to have to change this up a little. But I like your answer there. I do. Overall, Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, did you enjoy March Madness this year?
Loved it. I won my first ever bracket challenge.
Oh!
Yeah, I did.
Congratulations.
I did. I get to keep, you know, the prize money for Brevard Sports Network.
That's funny.
I've never won one. I've finished second or third many times in my life. And I mean my entire life, Mark, I have never won one. And I had two ones, obviously Purdue and UConn in the finals, and I had UConn to win it, and I actually had I was only 6 points off in my final score prediction.
Congratulations, buddy. You did it. You did it. That is awesome. No, I'm laughing. I love you got to keep your money. Good for you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with this prize money?
Mark, I'll roll it back over next year and double the take for first place next year.
I like it. We're here, the Alan Slaughter Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network. I still have never won a tournament challenge, so that's awesome, dude. Let's go to the women. I know you saw this. So the TV ratings, those last three games of Caitlin Clark's career, they keep breaking records. How good was this for women's basketball?
It was phenomenal. You know, you'll often hear me say on here that even though it's much more low scoring, I'm not a fan of the WNBA, but I do enjoy high school and women's college basketball. I like girls' high school basketball and women's college basketball because I think the fundamentals of the game are adhered to a lot more. I think you see better technique. I think you see better shooting. And Caitlin Clark is just, you know, one of those once in a lifetime type players. You know, obviously we've seen the Sue Birds and all that come through, but you know, there's just something about Caitlin Clark that's unique. But I think what we saw in this tournament, and I know all the talk surrounds Caitlin Clark, but I think we're looking at as many flowers as we're throwing at Dan Hurley, Dawn Staley for South Carolina and what she did this year with that team and going 38-0. Don't forget, Mark, she's got, I believe it was 5 new starters this year, and they went 38-0. And, I mean, you know, they got down early in that game to Iowa. I mean, they were down, 20-9 at the start of that game. They did not panic. You're looking at a lot of young players on that team. Cardozo, Hall, Kitts, Johnson, Papayo. That's a young South Carolina team, Mark. They could potentially go 2 years without losing a basketball game. Now, UConn and Gino Umiar is going to have something to say about that next year because that's going to be a very good team as well. But I think the only blemish on the girls' tournament was the call on Friday night on the moving pick. You know, whether you think it was a foul or whether you don't think it was a foul, you don't make that call with 5 seconds to play in the game.
That is your official statement. Okay, here's the crazy stat. You brought some great stats to the table today, so I'll bring mine. Last year, South Carolina was undefeated all the way to the Final Four, and they lost to Caitlin Clark in Iowa. So, in 2 seasons, they lost 1 game, and it was to Caitlin Clark, then came back and got the revenge in the title game. That's how great Caitlin Clark is to women's basketball.
Yeah, and I tell you what, and lose, you know, with Angel Reese leaving as well. I mean, I've already seen the Caitlin Clark commercial for a bank. I mean, it's incredible. It's definitely going to hurt the women's game not having Caitlin Clark there next year. I mean, she was front and center in terms of national talking heads on television. I mean, she was the lead story on a lot of those games or a lot of those shows. But, listen, I enjoyed both NCAA tournaments. I thought the women put on a stellar show. The men put on a stellar show. And look, even though – and South Carolina was no slouch either, Mark. They won their tournament games by an average of 30 points a game, Mark. 30 points a game, okay? So it's not like anything South Carolina played in was close. And they end up beating Iowa by 12 points the other night. So it's not like that game was extremely close. But it was fun to watch, and I thought the atmospheres were phenomenal, and I just really thought that this was a good year for the tournament.
Do you feel like what helped women's basketball was we had characters, we had storylines, we had, you know, this has been a year in the making where all these different, the coach at LSU, Gino at UConn, like you said, Tarazi at South Carolina, then we got Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Paige at UConn. Did that help women's basketball that you had a storyline and characters that you could root for?
Yeah, it did. And you know what I think, too? And I'm going to say this. I really think for the first – I'm going to say this. I thought TNT and ESPN for the women's tournament, TNT, TBS, for the men's tournament, CBS, I thought they did a phenomenal job. I know whatever's going on with Greg Gumbel, but having Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, and Kenny Davis in the studio was great, man. It was just great.
It was. They give it this more kind of like this is legit. This is a big moment. Yeah. We're on the call. Yeah. I know. I agree with you. And it was the women's thing was fascinating where you had all these former great players and they all were given their opinion, right? Like, and there's kind of this, and this is my opinion, there's kind of this jealousy here where it's like, hey, I'm better than Caitlin Clark. Why didn't I get all this national hub? What's going on here? Yeah. And you're right.
You could see it. And especially Friday night when half the talking heads for the women's side are all former UConn players.
Oh, yeah.
They were not particularly happy with that call.
No, they were not. The play she made, okay, the heads-up play where, they had the lead, and she had to do the inbounds play, and so that Paige Beckers, she made the mistake of, you have to look at the inbounder, but she turned around, so she passed it off her back. A phenomenal play. Like, just, that was amazing.
Heads up play.
That was awesome. And, I love basketball. And dude, I was telling this off air. Now that ends. This is a great time of year for you, Alan. We're going to go two straight months with NBA and NHL playoffs. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, man. But I got to tell you, yes, I am. I'm looking at the Magic here and I'm looking, they're third in the Eastern Conference. Both Florida hockey teams are likely playoff bound. There's going to be a lot to watch in the NBA. But, buddy, we are just 2.5 weeks away from the thing you and I love the most, man. And I cannot wait for that draft.
I cannot wait. I'm going to be at Walk-On Sports Bistro hosting my NFL draft party. Alan was there last year. I loved your you had your Ravens jersey on that said Alan Z on the back. That's an epic.
That's right.
That is epic. How are you going to top that one?
I won't. I'll have the jersey right back on again with watching the draft. Alan Z. Oh. Remember, man, 54. Can't put another guy's name on my back, dude. Can't do it.
It's all right, man. You're absolutely right. 2.5 weeks away from the NFL draft. Is Caleb Williams the first pick? Like 100% now, the pick.
Unquestioned. I think Williams goes first, Daniels goes second, Drake May goes third, and I think the Vikings trade up with the Chargers. And whether or not you think he's the fifth pick in the draft, I think the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy.
Is Harrison Jr. four to the Cardinals?
Yes. If the Arizona Cardinals know what's good for them, and that franchise, listen, the team's leading wide receiver last year was Marquise Brown, and he's gone in free agency.
Yeah.
They got no wide receivers. I mean, if Marvin Harrison isn't a fit in Arizona, then he's not a fit anywhere. I think the Giants will either take Neighbors or his last name.
Yeah, Dunze.
I think your Bears are the most interesting team in this draft with two picks in the top nine. What they do with that nine pick will really turn the rest of the first round on its head or put it right in line.
I feel like if they get a phone call for draft capital and they move down round one and add a second, I think you might do it. It depends what you want to do, but this is the question for the Bears. Do you want to go all in? You've been one of the worst offensive franchises in the history of the NFL, and you've been around for 100 years. You're getting that quarterback at one. You added Keenan Allen. You got DJ Moore, right? You got Swift from Philadelphia to be the running back. Do you just say, put the chips in and take a rookie wide receiver with the ninth pick? Would you do that, Alan, if you were the Bears?
Yep, I sure would. And for just the reason you just said, you have an opportunity here to start all over. And the last 8 to 10 years of the NFL draft is littered, littered Mark Moses with success stories of rookie quarterbacks and first and second year wide receivers doing some very special things in this league. You draft a Caleb Williams, you put three outstanding wide receivers around him, you draft on offensive line, and you build that offense. You've never had a quarterback, one of the oldest franchises in the history of this league, Mark, and you've never had a quarterback throw for over 4,000 yards. I mean, that to me is one of the most mind-numbing statistics in sports when you think about it. Now, they need an edge rusher. They need, you know, they need offensive tackles. They need a defensive tackle. But I'm telling you, quarterback and wide receiver, to me, are this team's biggest needs going into this draft. And now that you've, you know, if I'm Justin Fields and they draft Rome at the 9th pick, right, I'm thinking, wow, really? I mean, you know, what did you give me?
I my dad and I were debating this. I think he starts in Pittsburgh by like week 3 or 4, and then he's the starter the rest of the way. So it's like I feel bad for Justin Fields, but I think he's going to be running that football for the Steelers, and I think he's going to be very happy after a while.
I don't know. I like, listen, I think when you go back and you look at what Russell Wilson did last year, yeah, he had that stretch in there that was bad, but he was still a top 10 quarterback in passer rating last year. Mark, his year wasn't all that bad. Pittsburgh's got some good wide receivers. They got an outstanding running back, a good offensive line. He just didn't have a quarterback. If Wilson can get the ball down the field to his wide receivers, you know, it'll be tough for Fields to take the job from him, but I think you're right. Once Fields gets a shot, I don't think he comes out.
No, I don't think he goes out. Okay, we'll end with this, Leon Slutterzinski, and now you got me excited for the draft, so thank you. What are realistic expectations for Caleb Williams as a guy that's never started an NFL game before?
Well, I think you have to go back and look at what has occurred in the NFL over the last 10 years with rookie quarterbacks. I think the expectations are the limit, right? The sky's the limit for Caleb Williams. I mean, after I can't believe his name is eluding my brain. Texans.
C.J. Stroud.
See, after what C.J. Stroud did last year, Mark, I mean, you know, I don't think you can expect anything but greatness from Caleb Williams.
Those two wide receivers, if they are healthy, that could be the most dominant tandem if you can get them the ball. Keenan Allen, it's funny, when I was out, what was it, Stephon Diggs got traded to the Texans, and you're like, Keenan Allen had better stats in less games than Stephon Diggs. And like,
yeah.
I mean, who's your number one? Is it DJ Moore? He's got to be the one receiver, and then Allen's your two, and then your rookie, the rookie top 10 pick could be your third receiver. What?
You're going to run a spread offense. You're going to throw the football all over the field next year. And listen, you know, I know a lot of people are going to be hyped on the Packers because of what they did in the playoffs last year, and justifiably so, okay? But the Bears can play some defense. Last year, Mark, they played some defense in some games, and I think they're going to be just fine. You know, if you can add an edge rusher, maybe go get another cornerback, I think, you know, you kind of start to nail that defense down a little bit. But if this offense, Mark, can start putting some points on the board, the Bears can be a wild card team next year.
All right, I'll end with this, and I appreciate the hype. You get me excited. Okay, this goes into the vault. Hierarchy of greatest players of all time for my teams, it's always going to be Michael Jordan, right? He's going to be up there. He's the guy.
Of course.
Yeah, he's the guy. If you're the quarterback for the Bears and you're kicking ass and you're winning Super Bowls, you might be up there with Michael Jordan because no one's ever seen it before. There's nothing to compare it to.
Well, the two greatest quarterbacks in the history of the Chicago Bears, Sid Luckman and Jim McMahon, if Sid was still alive, God bless him, both of them could go into town and they still would never have to pay for a meal or a drink, right? So, I mean, that's the truth, right?
It's so wild.
If you can imagine how starved this city is to actually say they have a quarterback, it would truly be something.
It's like the Dolphins. The way you talk about Dan Marino, he's the man. Just the man. The one thing I know here in Florida. Dan Marino's the man, and there's no debate. There's no Dan Marino, the man. That's what it is.
Yep.
Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network. My man, thanks for your help and have a great day.
Appreciate it as always, Mark. Take care, buddy.